Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to Unity Center of Light, another service from our home to your home, which we look forward to bringing to you today. I am Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pam Mosby.
And we want to remind you that right after this service, we are having a Zoom fellowship. If you have not joined us in a Zoom fellowship, we invite you to come be with us in that. You get to hear great music, maybe discussion about the lesson, interaction with your other Unity family. So please do join us. And if you're wondering how to join us, you can find the Zoom link in your e-newsletter or in your weekly update. So we look forward to seeing you there. And we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thanks. Good morning, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm Unity's mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. Now let's affirm our foundation statement. Together, there is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the good, omnipotent. Amen. And now we will have our daily word reading for Sunday, April the 18th. The key words are pray for others, and the affirmation is, with mind and heart, I know the truth for each person I hold in prayer. A friend, someone said, knows the truth for you until you can know it for yourself. Praying for friends, family members, and those I haven't met, I center my awareness in the truth that each one for whom I pray is a living expression of God, just as I am. Letting go of fear, I release thoughts of lack, illness, disharmony, or any limitation. I see each person for whom I pray abundantly blessed. I see each one warmed and comforted by divine love that lifts their hearts and brings harmony to their relationships. I affirm their abundant living guided by divine love, wisdom, and understanding. I see each life unfolding in perfect divine order, enjoying security, health, and joy. And the scripture is 1 Corinthians 14:15, and it reads, I will pray with the spirit, but I will pray with the mind also. I will sing praise with the spirit, but I will sing praise with the mind also. Amen. And now we will have the lesson with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So, first of all, let me just warn you that this was another situation where I changed the title in the middle of the stream. The title I'd given to April early in the week was After the Resurrection Part 2. But once I got into this and started to pull together the information, another whole thought process came to me, which is the name of this is called To Heal is to Correct Our Perception. To heal is to correct our perception. Or you could say to correct our perception, you know, it's to heal. So as we get into this, I want you to begin to look at the fact that what we're doing all the time is, you know, trying to expand on a certain idea, okay? And it really takes a lot of different ways of looking at it to kind of get to that main idea we're trying to get to. Now, Charles Fillmore makes the point in his book, Mysteries of John. He says, written language is at best a reflection of an inner idea. And even though a teacher couples ideas and words as masterfully as Jesus does, clarity through explanation is still something sometimes difficult. Okay, and in an article I was reading on the internet, it was titled, Clarity is not always the best for learning. Let me say it again in case you want to look it up. Clarity is not always the best for learning, okay? And it explains that telling people the facts isn't always enough. They have to work through the information for themselves. And sometimes a hard way is the easy way. And what they mean by that, if you just sit and try to study and try to understand by yourself, usually that's the really hard way. What appears to be the hard way of getting out and experiencing it is really the easy way, because once you experience it, then you really get it. Okay, And this is why, you know, there's typically a basic theme in all the Sunday lessons, which is striving to understand Jesus' teachings about how to reach the kingdom of heaven or Christ consciousness. Okay. Now, each lesson hopefully is looking at the same theme or spiritual goal, but from different perspectives. You know, my idea of circumambulation, looking at the same thing from different perspectives. So clarification of the teachings of Jesus is what we've been working on and trying to accomplish throughout all the Sunday lessons. So this Sunday, in order to do a more in-depth investigation, we're going to use the book of John, because the book of John takes a more metaphysical look at the life of Jesus. Now, the other Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they give more of a historical perspective of Jesus. But the language in John is more esoteric. It's more metaphysical. You know, for example, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay. That's sort of a more, you know, like I said, esoteric or metaphysical examination of the life of Jesus. Now, to fully understand the instructions given to us by Jesus as to how we are to live and how we are to treat each other, we must be able to view his teachings from this esoteric perspective or metaphysical perspective that extends beyond social or moral conduct. Okay, so when we're studying the teachings of Jesus, remember, I said before, the teachings of Moses had to do more with social or moral conduct, at least at their basic literal level, okay? But the teachings of Jesus are looking at something much further beyond that, and I'll explain why. Now, this is not saying that social and moral conduct isn't important, because at our present level of consciousness, it is something that we must constantly contend with, okay? But as we said in a previous lesson, once you reach Christ consciousness, you're in a state where contention no longer exists. Let me say that again. Once you reach Christ consciousness, you're in a state of mind where contention no longer exists. Because in Christ consciousness, all there is the good that God is. Okay? So in all of these lessons, it comes down to the question, are we capable of change? All right, are we capable of change? Now, this came out of something we were watching on TV, and I said to Pam, wow, that's deep, because the characters were asking each other, are we capable of change? All right, and so that's what we're going to look at in this one. Are we capable of change? Not just in our thoughts, words, and actions, but change in our very essence. Because we usually think of, okay, I change. I'm not like I used to be. I don't think like I used to think. I don't talk like I used to talk. I don't do some of the things I used to do. Okay, but that's not where we're looking at. We're looking at change at our very essence, in our intrinsic nature, the very core of ourselves that determines our character and how we show up in the world. Okay, now I do believe that as truth students, we do strive to change by way of, you know, more spiritual study and spiritual practices. And we will strive to set aside, you know, more time for prayer and meditation. We'll read more spiritual material. We'll strive to do more good deeds. But the ultimate question is it our intention to shift from our ego-guided mindset to our spiritual-guided mindset? Or is it our intention to just increase the perception of our ego that we're becoming more spiritual? So the question for us to ponder is, in our present state of mind, is it possible for our ego to relinquish its position of dominance to the spiritual aspect of our being? And yes, I believe that through our spiritual study and practice, we are changing. Okay, we are changing. But are we truly striving to allow our spiritual self to have dominion over our ego self? That's what we're going to be looking at in this lesson. You know, do we believe it's even possible to make such a shift to where our spiritual self will have dominion over our ego self? So this, you know, sort of the not my will but thine be done, you know, getting really to that idea. And this is the question we're always trying to answer. We can, you know, all declare, I know me, you know, I know me. But that's only one side of the equation. The other side of the equation is, do I know the Christ in me? Okay, that is our spiritual goal. But can we embrace it? do we even want to embrace it? Okay. Now, as we read in John 3:19, God's light came into the world, but people love the darkness more than the light. Basically meaning, I like my ego self, but I'm not too sure about the idea of a spiritual self. But as the title of the lesson expresses, to heal is to correct our perception. Okay. And so we're going to talk about this healing process. We're going to look at some methodology for this healing process. So to heal is to correct our perception. And that's our work, to correct our perception that we are simply human beings with no real tangible spiritual backup. That's our perception right now, okay? Basically, we think about the fact that we're spiritual beings. Yes, we say we're human beings. We think about ourselves. We know that the term, we are spiritual beings, having a human experience. But when we say, I know me, we're really talking about the human aspect of ourselves, okay? So we want to correct our perception that we're just simply human with no real, tangible, spiritual backup, okay? And the central aspect of the New Thought approach to understanding how to correct our perception lies in trying to comprehend the metaphysics of ourselves and our lives. Basically, right now, we look at and we describe the literal nature of ourselves and our lives. But we want to be able to comprehend the metaphysics of ourselves and our lives. So what does that mean? When we speak of metaphysics and unity, we're using the definition given by Charles Fillmore in The Revealing Word. And it explains that metaphysics is the systematic study of the science of being. Metaphysics is the systematic study of the science of being. And you may have heard me say that before, use it in a previous lesson, okay? In the definition, you know, but the question is, what does it mean to you and to me, and how does it help us understand the meaning of the circumstances that are occurring in our lives, all right, right now? Well, again, referring to the revealing word, it explains this. It says, this concept called being or God is the mind of the universe, and it is composed of archetype ideas such as life, love, wisdom, substance, truth, power, peace, prosperity, perfect health, and any other ideas of good we contribute to God. Okay? Now, as we already know, archetype means an original model or type after which other similar things are patterned. So in the study of truth, we continuously say that we must awaken and return to the truth of our being, meaning to our original divine selves. That's what we are always talking about in truth. And all of the authors that I'm reading and studying are saying the exact same thing. We must awaken and return to the truth of our being, to our original divine selves, okay? And again, in scripture, the story of the prodigal son, you know, returning home, that's recorded in Luke 15:11. That's based on the idea that we must awaken and return home to our original self. If you remember in that story, he was, I think, eating what the pigs were eating, and all of a sudden he came to himself and said, why am I doing this when my father is wealthy and has, you know, more food than I know of? And that's awakening, okay? And that's what we're seeking to do, okay? Now, and we're not seeking to awaken and return to our original selves, you know, after death. We're talking about doing it in this life experience. And again, this is an idea that boggles our minds. I mean, have you really thought about, you know, all the things that we study? Have you thought to yourself, can I make this switch from ego mind to Christ mind and operate from that, you know, aspect of my being? Okay. So how do we approach this unfathomable task? How do we return to our original selves? When we say that metaphysics is a study or the systematic study of the science of being, we're describing a method of approaching the study of this switch from me to God in a manner by which we can prove the existence of God as a true expression of me, okay? So I hope that made sense, you know. We're trying to figure out, how do I make this switch from me to God, okay, in a manner by which I can prove the existence of God as a true expression of me. not just as a being up in the sky, but as the original model of life, love, faith, wisdom, substance, truth, power, peace, prosperity, and perfect health, that I am in my original state. Okay, so all of those things I just described, those archetypes of God, are what I am in my original state. And it is what you are in your original state. So in reality, God is life, and so am I. God is love, and so am I. God is faith, and so am I. Okay? Let me say that again so you can say it with me. God is life, and so am I. God is love, and so am I. God is faith, and so am I. Okay? So the purpose of the systematic study of the science of being is to reach an understanding and a practice in which you can prove that these archetype realities about God are the true potential of you and your life, okay, of me and my life. And the way to approach proving the existence of being, God, is, as we discuss all the time, is to systematically use prayer as the way you approach the affairs in your life, to systematically use affirmations and denials as the way you approach the affairs in your life, to systematically, all right, practice becoming still and listening for the still small voice for guidance as the way you approach the affairs in your life, or to recite your favorite scripture before making any decision or going into any action, or any number of systematic spiritual methods you feel comfortably drawn to experiment with to prove the activity of God in your life, all right? And I'm purposely using the word systematic to evoke the thought of being disciplined and focused, as opposed to being haphazard, arbitrary, or scattered in our approach to systematically proving the existence of God in our lives. Because we, all of us, will say that we're just too busy, you know, to have this systematic approach to the affairs in our lives, okay? But to be effective in this systematic approach, it must be practiced over an extended period of time. So not only must you be disciplined in it and focused in it, that you are, you know, you are committing to this on a daily basis, but you have to commit to it over an extended period of time. It is however long it takes. Somebody says, what is an extended period of time? Is it a week, a month, a year? Well, the answer is, it's however long it takes to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is present and active in your life and affairs. So, in this systematic approach to your life, using every opportunity to practice being aware of the science of being working in your life and affairs, you will no longer have to try to make the shift from ego self to spiritual self. Now, let me say that again. When you apply yourself to this systematic approach, or the science of being, approving the activity of God in your life and affairs, and that's what you're thinking about all the time. You're not thinking anymore about your ego self and your spiritual self. All you're thinking about is this systematic approach that you do consistently over a long period of time in order to, you know, to prove the activity of God in your life. Well, in the process of doing that, okay, you no longer have to think about the idea of trying to make the shift from ego self to spiritual self, because the practice will take care of that, right? So you hear the dynamic? So if you think about the fact of, you know, this is who I am. I would like to be able to operate from my Christ self. I really have no idea what that's really all about. I read about it, but as I said in the beginning, the reading, the words, they don't really help us to translate into the action of how do I switch from ego self to Christ self, okay? So what we do is we do something we can more easily understand, create a systematic approach to proving the activity of God in our lives by using some of the techniques I talked about already, okay? So as you are wrapped, if you wrap your mind and body and spirit into that practice, what will happen is you no longer have to think about making the shift from ego self to spiritual self, because the practice will take care of that. And basically right now, we do not know how to shift out of our ego mind into our Christ mind. Remember, as I said many, many times, the ego cannot jump out of the ego, especially when it doesn't understand where it is jumping to, All right. So the ego cannot jump out of the ego because it doesn't really understand where it's jumping to. And, you know, and yes, we can. Somebody ask you, because you've done so much reading and studying and so forth, you can use the words of the great masters to explain what it's all about. But until you experience it, as we said in the very beginning, we don't really get it. Okay. But we do know how to apply ourselves to systematic processes. Everybody listening to this knows or has a systematic process for something in your life. We know how to apply ourselves to systematic processes. And it's through this systematic process that we can eventually prove to ourselves that God is real and active in our life and affairs. So take what your understanding is about using systematic approaches to things in your life that you've used in other aspects of your life, and apply that as systematic approach to proving the activity of God in your life, okay, that's where you begin to get some of the benefits of what you've been reading and studying, okay? And then what happens is the ego will have no choice, okay, because it will come to know that it is not in charge of your life and affairs, that God is. So, you know, if you're really applying yourself to this process, you get to a point where, you know, your ego's starting to understand, well, you know, I'm telling him or her to do this and that, and they're doing something totally different, okay? And the ego gets to a point where it begins to understand, I'm no longer in charge, all right? God is. And like John, the ego will eventually proclaim, I must decrease, and he, the Christ, must increase. So the goal is to use a systematic approach to proving the existence of being as a true pattern in your life for as long as it takes to get consistent results. And that is the nature of the metaphysical approach. The object being to do the work necessary to prove or move your consciousness beyond a literal interpretation of what is occurring in your life to a metaphysical understanding. Okay? So this understanding leads to the healing that will correct our perception. Okay? So again, these are not things like, you know, we said to heal is to correct our perception. But we typically can't just do that, you know, just make up our minds to do it. We're saying you have to develop a systematic spiritual approach to the process. And in the implementation of that systematic approach over a period of time, okay, it will lead to the healing that will correct our perception. Okay? So this systematic approach is a methodological display or of a discipline or a spiritual activity that's designed, okay, to achieve some identifiable results. And the results we're seeking to achieve is to know that God is the source. God is the archetype, the expression of every good thing that manifests in our life. Okay, so it's a method by which we keep approaching our life spiritually until we get to a point where we can prove that God is in charge of our life and affairs. So the events and circumstances and relationships in our lives are merely vehicles or conduits for transformation to occur. And as long as we remain at the literal level of consciousness, we miss the value of what we're experiencing. Okay? But when we start living life metaphysically, we live in a realization that something great is trying to happen. Something transformative is trying to happen. Something miraculous is trying to happen. It is then that we begin to effortlessly experience the shift from ego mind to Christ mind. Okay? Now, John Shelby Spong, in his book, The Hebrew Lord, A Bishop's Search for the Authentic Jesus, gives an explanation of the sign of what the science of being looks like through the life of Jesus. Okay? And it says, in Jesus of Nazareth, we see the fullness of life being lived, the depth of love being shared, the courage to be being revealed. To us, Jesus made known the meaning of life and love and being. He revealed God, and whenever God is seen in human life, that power is called Christ. You are the Christ, Jesus. That is what was exclaimed of him. You are the Christ, For in your life we have seen the meaning of all life. In your love we have seen the source of all love. And in your being we have seen the ground of our being. Okay. Now, the statement, in your being we have seen the ground of our being, is similar to a statement that we looked at some time ago, which is, you are the eschatological manifestation of the ground of our being. Okay? You are the eschatological manifestation of the ground of our being. This comes from graffiti that was written on the wall at St. John's University in Minnesota, and it was written by a third-year seminarian. Thank you, hon. Okay? And there's actually more to it than that, but that's the only part we're going to look at right now. It was his version of the disciples' response to Jesus' question, who do you say that I am? And just a quick review, the word eschatological means a belief or a discipline concerning the ultimate outcome or the finality of things, such as the destiny of humanity. So the statement, or more accurately, the proclamation, you are the eschatological manifestation of the ground of my being, is saying you are my ultimate outcome, my finality, the conclusion of my spiritual quest, or simply, you are the Christ, you know, you are my destiny. Now, to glimpse or to get a glimpse of what this looks like in our lives from a practical spiritual perspective, listen to this passage from the Course of Miracles. And I know these slides have a lot on them, but again, the purpose is so that you can read along, and also if you go back through this video, you can also be able to easily see it for yourself. So it says, to heal is the only kind of thinking in this world that resembles the thought of God. Okay? To heal is the only kind of thinking in this world that resembles the thought of God. When someone perceives himself as being fearful, he is perceiving himself as not being whole, and therefore in need of healing. If you, too, see him as being fearful, this is important, if you also see him as being fearful, you are seeing him as if he were absent from the kingdom of God or separate from it, thus making the kingdom of God itself obscure to both of you. To heal, then, is to correct the perception of your brother, your sister, and yourself by sharing the Holy Spirit with them. This places all within the kingdom of God and all restores its wholeness in your mind. Okay? So, in Jesus, we have seen the ground of our being. Right? Jesus is the metaphysical scientist who demonstrated for us how to live in the system, okay, for proving the science of being in all of your life and affairs, right? No matter what their degree of difficulty. That's the challenge, okay? Now, it's recorded in John 14:6 that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? Life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. So again, it explains in the Course of Miracles, all right? This is not saying I am in any way separate or different from you. The statement is more meaningful in terms of a vertical rather than a horizontal axis. You stand below me and I stand below God. Without me, the distance between you and God would be too great for you to encompass. I bridge the distance as your elder brother on the one hand and as a son of God on the other. My devotion to you has placed me in charge of the sonship. Okay. So let's look at what that's saying. So the word sonship basically means that by way of the Christ inherent within every one of us, we are the sons and the daughters of God. And remember, that's in Scripture, both Old Testament and Jesus said it again in New Testament. And it is the Christ self within each of us, now listen carefully, the Christ self within each of us that provides the bridge for the personal self to have direct access to God and all that God is. So when we pray or meditate, what we're really striving to do is to tap into that Christ self, which gives us access to all that God is, right? And even when you're working with this systematic approach we talked about of using prayer, meditation, affirmations, and scripture and whatnot to prove the activity of God in your life, and you're systematically doing this, continuously looking for that proof, what you're looking to do is to raise yourself above that which might be challenging you in your life to that point, all right, where you're at the level of spirit, of Christ, and it gives you that direct access, right? So we, like Jesus, are from God. Just like Jesus is from God, we are from God, which means we have all of the same rights and privileges and abilities that Jesus has, okay? Again, as it's written in the Course, it says, there is nothing about me that you cannot attain. I have nothing that does not come from God. The only difference between you and me right now is I have nothing else. Okay? Let me say it again. There is nothing about me that you cannot attain. I have nothing that does not come from God. The only thing between you and me right now is that I have nothing else. Which means that Jesus was purely focused on the Christ within himself. I and the Father are one. All right? Now, we refer to Jesus as a Christ, and this is true. But the book of John describes the life of Jesus as one man's systematic plan to reach the Christ potential and explains how he chose to live his life as a demonstration and a teaching for all of us to follow. Jesus' predestination to Christhood is also our predestination to Christhood. Jesus lived his life in a way that would show us the way to our own indwelling Christ. And our greatest challenge is to believe that the potential of the Christhood exists within us as our true nature. And if you think about the fact that we are consciously and unconsciously watching each other all the time for cues on how to behave in certain situations, you can begin to understand the power of statements like, I am the light, I am the good shepherd, I am the way. Okay, these are all in the book of John. But what I'm saying is when you recognize that, you know, we're looking at each other for cues as to how to be, then you want to be the light. So instead of being the darkness, the, you know, falling into whatever is happening, you want to stay the light. So you affirm, I am the light. Okay, if you want to show the right way of being in certain situations, you affirm, I am the good shepherd, or I am the way. Okay. So these, and again, when you're saying, I am the way, or I'm the good shepherd, I am the light, you're not talking about your personal self, okay? Those statements are part of the systematic approach, because by saying those statements, what you do is you're calming down your ego self, which thinks it knows the way, so that you can be open to the guidance of your spiritual self. So these affirmative statements help us to remember the impact we have on each other, because we can either be the way to that which is beautiful and loving, or we can be the way to that which is ugly and fearful. The difference being, you know, between a literal Christian and a metaphysical Christian is that the literal Christian sees something wrong and prays for God to change it. Again, the literal Christian sees something wrong and prays for God to change it. Whereas a metaphysical Christian sees something wrong and prays asking God to change her, so that she is able to see the results of her own transformation. And that is the greatest difficulty we will encounter in learning how to live our lives metaphysically. It's learning how to see rightly, meaning a correction in our perception about what is occurring in our lives. And to reach that state of consciousness is more than a notion. You know, I say that every week. You must be willing to engage in a spiritual methodology that you are committed to sticking with until it proves to you the science of being is active in your life and affairs, no matter what their degree of difficulty. Okay? And I'm going to end with this statement again from the Course. It says, to heal, then, is to correct a perception in your brother, your sister, and yourself by sharing the Holy Spirit with them. This places each of you within the kingdom and restores its wholeness in your mind, your body, and your soul. And so it is. Amen. And now we're going to have meditation with Pamela.
So gently close your eyes. Place your feet flat on the floor. And take a nice deep breath in. And exhale. Once again, deeply in. And exhale. This morning I will be reciting an Earth Day prayer from Pope Francis as we celebrate on Thursday, April the 22nd, which is the 51st time that Earth Day will be recognized. All-powerful God, you are present in the whole universe and in the smallest of creatures. You embrace with your tenderness all that exists. Pour out upon us the power of your love that we may protect life and beauty. Fill us with peace that we may live as brothers and sisters, harming no one. O God of the poor, help us to rescue the abandoned and forgotten of this earth, so precious in your eyes. Bring healing to our lives that we may protect the world and not prey on it, that we may sow beauty, not pollution and destruction. Touch the hearts of those who look only for gain at the expense of the poor and the earth. Teach us to discover the worth of each thing, to be filled with awe and contemplation, to recognize that we are profoundly united with every creature as we journey towards your infinite light. We thank you for being with us each day. Encourage us, we pray, in our struggle for justice, love, and peace. And now, remaining in your quiet space and keeping your eyes closed, take in another deep breath and exhale. And another deep breath, allowing your body to relax and for you to become very calm. Please let the words that I speak be the words of your own heart. Dear Creator God, let me always be in awe of your wonderful works of creation. I don't want to take the details of the world you created for granted. Everything around me is wonderfully complex and splendid. You, Lord, are both the engineer and the artist that built a world to perfectly sustain life. But you did not stop there. You made immense details that please all of our senses as well. There are beautiful things to see, sounds to hear, textures to feel, delicious food to taste, and even delightful aromas to bring us enjoyment. Thank you for the details of life. Now let's take the next few moments into the silence where you may pray, receive answers to your prayers, and be still. Gracious Spirit, give us the eyes to see wisdom in the moment. Give us the courage to change our ways forever, to live responsibly, to advocate boldly, to honor and protect what you have created. O Creator, with your help, we will change our ways. And so, through the power of the Holy Spirit, with Jesus as our elder brother, way-shower, and guide, we say Amen, and so it is. Slowly come back to this time and back into your day. and remember that the Unity Center of Light is always here for you. Amen.
That was wonderful, huh?
Thanks.
I turned the music down too fast.
It's okay.
So this is that time when we open our hearts and minds to allow some of the treasure that flows into our personal life to flow into our spiritual home. As always, we are very thankful for all that you're doing during this time. We're going to have a family meeting coming up on, what is that?
25th.
We're going to talk about where do we go from here. You know, the pandemic is not over. We haven't reached herd immunity. So we want to talk about where we go from here. But as we're going through this process, it is very helpful and very important that we continue to receive your donations to continue the work we're doing. And so we thank you, thank you, thank you. So with that in mind, let's say our affirmation together.
Offering blessing.
We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light. Amen. All right. And you have light notes?
Yes. Okay. We have current copies of the Daily Word and Science of Mind magazines available. If you are interested in them, please call Patty and she will mail them to you. Our virtual annual family meeting will be held on Sunday, April 25th. Join us as we look at revising our bylaws, elect new board members, review the happenings of 2020, and learn about plans for the upcoming year. All are encouraged to attend. Only members can vote. Keeping the High Watch prayer call is a 15-minute pause that we invite you to join in on Mondays through Fridays at 4 p.m. Together we go within and reconnect with spirit and one another. Using silence, contemplation, readings, affirmative prayers, and more, we shift our focus from the apparent chaos of the outer to the peace of God within. So give yourself this wonderful pause in your day. And that concludes our announcements for today.
All right. So this is when we bless the path we will walk together.
And we're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal,
and
gusto.
All right.
I go forward in the spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous. And I am grateful.
And let's do our prayer for protection together.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine, and all is well.
And that's the truth. All right. All right. Well, we are very thankful to have you with us today. We look forward to seeing you in Zoom.
Yes.
All right. And if we don't see you there, anyway, have a wonderful week, and we will see you next week.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.